Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here and preach the gospel message. May you open my tongue, but also open your hearts and minds to what the Holy Spirit would have us hear and know this morning. Let's stand, if you are able, to read the message from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, a very well-known part of the epistle. Again, Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 11. For if there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same joy, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You can be seated. Well, it's a little bit of a surprise that I'm here this morning, and I simply ask a blessing on Pastor Jesse that he can come back soon so that this does not become common. I want to start, as you well know, I take a great interest in music, and the song that we just sang, Just As I Am, often was sung, I think it was sung almost every time, at the end of the service of a Billy Graham crusade. And if I had one small part of what I am as a Christian, when I was young, I don't ever remember not being a Christian, but I certainly remember times when I questioned and when I wondered whether it was made sense to be a Christian. But I also remember that it also helped to watch those crusades twice a year, when all that we had was TV6, CBS at that time. And so if you had two times a year to watch TV, well, you had that 10 to 11 o'clock hour where that was all that you could get. And when I was growing up, I watched most of those. And I can't remember a person that spoke the gospel message more clearly and simply than Billy Graham. And that's part of why I'm still a Christian today. Not all of it, but definitely a big part of it. So I thank Billy Graham, and I thank Just As I Am as part of that message to come, just as you are, to the rail to receive the gift of salvation that he offers through his blood. The gospel, or the message that we read this morning, is interesting. It's interesting that it is on Palm Sunday. We talk about, in this passage of Scripture, Christ's godliness and majesty, but also his humility. And if you think on that Palm Sunday, Christ came into Jerusalem with great fanfare. Not as a king, though, did he? There are a lot of people there that were giving him honor by laying down the palm leaves and laying down their coats as a form of worship and honor. And he acknowledged that. But what was he riding? A humble donkey. Not a stallion. Not a chariot. He didn't have anybody guiding him or leading him as you might find an emperor that would have been in Rome at that time. He came on a lowly donkey. and if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, never been ridden before. But that was his chariot for the day. He came in majesty, but in a lowly fashion. Isn't that the way Christ has been throughout? Not putting away the attributes of God, but taking a humble servant. Remember, what happened a week before that, roughly? 2 weeks or whenever. He raised Lazarus from the dead, did he not? I think that was the message last week. He raised Lazarus from the dead. So he did not put aside his attributes to simply live as a human. He certainly exercised the attributes that he had. He didn't exercise all of them, because he certainly exercised the attribute of healing, the power that he had to actually give someone back life. And you think of the apostles that sat there and said, "Wow." And within a week, Peter denied him 3 times, because he couldn't understand that the whole reason for Jesus coming was to be a servant and to die on a cross, on the center cross of Calvary. We live in a world where there are many forms of worship and many other gods that we could actually worship if we wanted to. But name me one God that came to earth for the sole purpose of dying on the cross so that the sin penalty that we owe can be forgiven. Name me one other God that does that. There's no other God worshipped on the face of the earth that put himself in the position of coming to earth as in the form of man, actual man, suffered death, suffered the pain of death, so that our sins could be actually forgiven and the sin penalty could be taken care of. And all that we have to do is what? Not cross a bunch of bridges, not dot a bunch of I's, not cross a bunch of T's, but simply repent and believe. Repent and believe. Such a simple thing to do, and absolutely out of the ordinary for people to understand. I was teaching in Sunday school this morning about a little bit about Corrie Ten Boom, and that's also what brought back Billy Graham. Corrie Ten Boom, if you remember, was a Dutch woman who in 1940 was single and probably in her 40s, and they were very Christian. And she and her sister and brother and father took it upon themselves to hide Jews during the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands. And they got many Jews out of the Netherlands at that time. But they were betrayed by another Dutch person, and they were both sent to a concentration camp. The father died shortly after in jail. A son or a younger brother died in the resistance. Another brother, older, died having contracted a disease. And her sister, Betsy, died in Ravensbrück concentration camp. She was released in December of 1944 by some type of an accounting error. And she went on after that to basically preach the gospel message that her sister Betsy basically said, that there is no pit deep enough, that God is not deeper still, that any sin can be forgiven. And Betsy said to her sister, Corrie, that we're going to be released before the end of the year, before the end of 1944, before Christmas. Betsy was released by death to heaven. Corrie was released by a mistake to preach the gospel message. Years later, when the movie came out, because there was a movie called The Hiding Place, it's in a book as well, and the movie came out by the same name, I was stationed at Fort Devens, Massachusetts, and I took my roommate to the movie with me. And I had a good relationship with my roommate. to say it easily, he was an agnostic Catholic. I don't think he was a believer, and I've lost touch with him since that time. But I sat there, and we watched the movie together, and when I was out of the movie, I asked him, I said, you know, because it touched me, and I asked him, what did you think of the movie? And he was absolutely incredulous that you could believe in a God that would forgive sins of those that committed the Holocaust or any of the crimes that occurred during the Holocaust. We have a God who forgives sin, any sin, all sin. And all we have to do is repent and believe. That's the whole message of Lent. That's the whole message of Holy Week. That's what you'll hear preached during Maundy Thursday, and definitely Good Friday. But it all looks to the victory on Easter Sunday. We believe in a Lord that forgives sin. We believe in a Lord who set aside his godly attributes to live as us. And again I say, what other God has done that? In the history of the world, what other God has done that? No other God in my mind or memory has done that. When somebody asks why, as a Christian, do we believe that we're the only one true faith? That's one good reason. That doesn't mean that we lord it over other people. We want to live our lives and be willing and able to give an account when asked why we are Christians. And again, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts anyway and brings people to Jesus. We're just an instrument in the hands of God to bring other people to the Lord. I've witnessed that myself. I've got a class of confirmation students whom I just love. I wish they're not always the most talkative, but who at 16 or 17 is, unless they're amongst their friends. But I know that they're paying attention. And I tell them every Sunday, God loves you. God died for you. God knows what it is. And we've been kind of basically following the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus, and you go through. Well, why does it make sense to believe in God? Why does it make sense to believe in Jesus? It does make sense. It does make logical sense to believe in a God. Well, what makes our God, the Jehovah God of the Bible, special? I say it for the third or fourth time. It's because no other God took the form of man to pay the price that we should pay. Every other religion has works as its basic foundational aspect. You want to get to heaven or receive the blessings of a God? Do this or do that. We don't have to do that. We couldn't do that anyway. How can we live a good enough life to make it to heaven on our own? We can't. That's another thing that's hard. That was another thing that was hard for my friend to believe. How can we get to heaven on our own effort? And how do I tell a 16-year-old, you can't do it? Don't try. God has already done it for you through Christ. He's already done it on the cross. So think of Jesus on that first Palm Sunday, riding into Jerusalem, receiving honor from a certain group of people who lay down the palm leaves and the blankets to give him a blessing to come in. And within a week, the Pharisees and scribes who had been plotting against him all the time actually then finally got Pontius Pilate to condemn him to death. And that was the plan all along. It's so inconceivable for me to think as a young person that that was possible, and yet that is it. And I want us to all think for a short period of time how amazing that actually is. Even now, for all of us who have been Christians for a long time, who believe, what an amazing thing to think about. I put a lot of stock in songs, so I just listened to we will glorify. Pick out the music. I must have picked it out with this in mind this morning. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. That's Jesus. And he set that power and glory and honor aside. Could have used it. Another song, he could have called 10,000 angels and wiped the earth clear of the human race. And he didn't. Because he took himself into the form of man to become a servant and to die for our sins. Every time I even think of it, I just want to kind of harp back to that. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus paid the price. We can't do it. He did it. I think it's just amazing. Again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, who actually was God. Another thing, teach a class the Trinity. You know, how do you make that sensible to a 16-year-old? Still doesn't completely make sense to me when you think about it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. One God, three attributes, three persons, three personalities. I should go to seminary. But even if I went to seminary, I'm not going to be that much more capable of telling you exactly how that's possible. It's a mystery that we believe on faith when God gives us that faith. Being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then God, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord someday. And it is our prayer as Christians that that tongue would confess it before we're called home. That tongue would confess it before we face the judgment. And that's another thing. God doesn't put aside his holiness and his righteousness and his, if I may say, judgment of us because he simply loves us. They're together. They're inseparable. What is there for us if we're not saved is judgment and holiness. And God will set those aside, those people aside. And we can talk about hell, and I'm not going to say quite that way, but it is a place that we do not want to be for eternity. And that's why he offered himself in the form of Christ to die on the cross, so that his love can shine through, and so that his attribute of love would be the one thing that we can hang on to. But he's still holy, and he's still righteous. And that is exactly why Christ had to pay on that center cross. And that's something else that we should remember through Lent and Holy Week, that the price that God paid was sending his own son because of our sin. We nailed him to the cross. And we seek forgiveness at the foot of the cross. That's such a wonderful gift. But it's also a scary thing for those who don't repent. I want to read one other song that I just love that we've sung before, and it's one that I pick every year to sing. Kind of in closing, it's called These Things Are True of You. And again, think of the attributes of God, but also in the form of Christ. Unshakable, immovable, faithful and true, full of wisdom, strength, and beauty. These things are true of you. Fearless, courageous. Righteousness shines through in all you do, yet you are so humble. You lay down your life. These things are true of you. Patient, compassionate, love flows through you. You never give up on the hopeless ones. These things are true of you. Holy and blameless, you stand up for justice and truth, yet you love mercy and forgiveness. These things are true of you. And as I turn my face to you, O Lord, I ask and pray by the power of your love and grace, make these things true of me too. Make these things true of me too. When you go forward this morning and for the rest of this week looking to Easter Sunday, we have a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness, because we have a righteous and holy God and a God of love. Amen. Since it is Communion Sunday, I will try to make it through without going off the deep end on how we should be doing it. It's kind of funny. We sit in our pews thinking we know the order of service until we're asked to be the ones to actually do it. Then the mind gets muddled and everything goes south. So if I go south, please forgive me. Let us stand to say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray with and for them who now will partake of the Lord's Supper. And again, as Pastor has said, anyone is welcome to the Lord's Supper this morning. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that the Holy Communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of the body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray as the Lord Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with thee.